Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style. Today, with your style questions. So, from my lucky dip, let's see who is first. Question comes from Izan, who says, how do we tone down a rainbow colored dress or bright red dress? What color bag or shoes or scarf? I would say, you know, this is one of those questions when we think about if we've got something that's very bright, very vibrant, we want to tone it down. We either want to choose something neutral to go with it, but not a high value contrast. So a lower value contrast, so a lower difference between the lightness and the darkness of the color and whatever you're putting it with. Or we want to choose a, you know, like when we're choosing the bags, the scarves, those sorts of things, we may want to choose something that is more similar in color. So if I was wearing blue, you know, say my dress is or bright red, I think that was the question, then rather than going, I'm going to wear yellow accessories, which is going to make it really pop, instead, I'm going to be looking for, and I wouldn't go black or white with my accessories, again, too poppy, something a little bit more similar. So this is where it may sound a little bit insane, but this is where you might go, I'm going to go pink, or I'm going to go orange, something that's more in keeping, so more similar on the color wheel. If it's a neutral, maybe I'll do a camel or something that's not quite so bright in the way that the white and the black can really pop as well. If I've got something rainbow, then I will choose one color or one neutral out of that rainbow to take that into my accessories. The other way, if you've got something that's a very bright color and you want to tone it down or very highly patterned, often just a jacket or a cardigan or something in a neutral over the top is a really easy way of doing it, because it just means that we cover a part of the outfit, a part of the dress, so part of the top that may be very bright, and we just reduce the volume of it that we see. So when we reduce that volume, it makes it easier for us to, you know, like it reduces that kind of amount we're seeing of it. So that's another way. Like often a little denim jacket or something like that is a really great way. Pop that over your dress or pop that over your very out there top. And you'll find that that will reduce down that kind of the volume of the brightness or the volume of the rainbow. Another thing to do is to up your own color contrast. So if you're wearing something that's very bright and you may not have the brightest coloring, think about wearing maybe a more solid or like a brighter lipstick color. Or if you're wearing something that's a very high color contrast and you're not naturally that, then I will often add a little bit more color in my makeup too. So I might go for a slightly like a colored eyeliner in a navy or a teal, something like that, because that's going to add a bit more color to my face, which is then going to work better with my colored outfit. Okay, next question. This one is from Emma. How do your best colors change when you let your gray and natural hair grow out? It's a really tricky thing to see. Think about. Going gray will end up often creating quite a different wardrobe than what you might have had before. So it really depends where you start from. So one of the things to think about is we have three properties of colors. So we have our value, that is how light, so how much white's in the color versus how much black or darkness is in the color. So you think about we've got white all the way through to black, you know, through like, you know, very light versions of a color. If you think about the color blue, very light blues, medium blues, darker blues, really dark, you know, navies all the way to black. That could just be one scale of color. So we can do that pretty much with most colors. Yellow doesn't ever get really that dark, but you think about how light or dark that color is. Then we have the undertone. So how warm or cool, so how much warmth or yellow base it has versus how much cool or blue base the color has. So we have that undertone, and then we have the intensity of the color. So that is how much brightness, so saturation of color, versus mutedness or grayed downness of color that we have. So we think about it, we start with the really bright colors, and then we just add tiny increments of gray, and we gradually get to gray. And if you've ever tried to mix grays, like putting different gray garments together in outfits, you'll often find it really tricky. And it's because grays usually have some sort of other base. They're not just made from black and white. They're made from mixing colors together. So you'll get blue grays, green grays, brown grays, yellow grays. I mean, you know, like purple grays, you name it. There's all different sorts of grays. And this is why grays are often very hard to mix, because we don't realize what that underlying pigment, the color is that's inside that gray. So when we're thinking about what happens as we get older and our hair goes gray, well, first of all, we lose depth. So we may start off with a dark gray, but then we will get, it'll get kind of lighter and lighter until we get to that white hair. So as we're going through the gray, we might get a dark gray, then we get a light gray, and then we'll get down to that white. Now, some of us never get to the white, other people get there much more quickly. But if we think about, so there is that, we get lighter with our colors. So that's one of the things that happens as we go gray. What else happens? If you think about it, when we are going gray, we're losing that saturation, that intensity of color that we had. So when we went from our really bright colors down to our really muted colors, what's happening is we're moving from bright and we're moving down that scale towards the more muted, the softer colors, the more smoky colors. And that's one of the biggest changes that happens. And then we have the undertone. So both black and white are cool. So gray is essentially a cool color. So the more we get gray here, we actually are losing any warmth we may have had. So if you started off cool, we will remain cool. But some warm people, we actually find that as we go gray, we're taking out some of that warmth out of the colors. And so we're ending up going from the warmer colors down towards the cooler colors. Now, not everybody goes cool. My mother's in her 80s and she is still warm, but she's still only just warm now, instead of much warmer than she was when she was younger. So when we think about going gray, so how does this affect our colors? It means we need to lighten our colors up. We need to make them more smoky, so not as bright as they once were, and they may end up being a bit cooler. And so therefore, when we're looking at colors, I just think, it's take the colors that you probably were wearing when you were younger that suited you, the brighter colors, and then pass a haze of smoke over them. Now, if you've got a dark gray hair, then pass a dark gray haze of smoke over the top. Or if you've got a light gray hair, pass a light. So think about a more white smoke, you know, a white light gray smoke instead of a dark, you know, a darker gray smoke. And that's where your colors will go. So hopefully that helps you. So thinking about as you're going gray, taking the bright colors, muting them down, making sure that they're not as bright and vibrant as they were, maybe not as warm as they were, because we notice the pigment going here, but in fact, skin pigments change as well. And this is why when people dye their hair back to their natural color, so the color they had when they were young, they'll often find that it doesn't flatter them as much as it used to, and that's because they no longer have the skin they had when they had that color. Just like I used to have black hair. Now, you know, by the time I decided to go blonde, I was noticing that the black was getting a bit too harsh, because what was growing out of my hair at the time, that what is my natural color now, is not the natural color I had when I was 15. And so therefore skins change as well. I used to have really, really pale white skin, but just, you know, another 30 years or 50 years of being on this planet and living in a country, in particular Australia, where we have very harsh sunlight. So even though I've been wearing a lot of sunscreen all my life, I still don't have the same skin I had. It's got darker than it used to be, and it's got softer than it used to be. So I don't have the skin that could take that really dark, intense color as well. So it is thinking about how those things are changing on you, and therefore how you're going to start adapting. And of course, once we start adapting the color, if I'm getting lighter, it may mean too that I've changed my value contrast. And that's another thing to consider, that that your value contrast changes. So how you put your colors together, if you've started off dark, you may end up with a, you know, like I went from a dark a dark and light, you know, high value contrast to a more medium value contrast now that I've gone lighter. You will also find too that your best neutrals will change. So when you were younger, brown used to be a great neutral, you know, a cool brown for me when I had the really dark brown hair. But now there's nothing about me that's brown. And so brown just doesn't work in the same way, but greys work so much better. Greys didn't work great back then. Now greys work really well for me. So thinking about what your best neutrals really often relate to your hair color. And so you may find that now, if you're going grey, that more greys are great neutrals to base your wardrobe around. So there you go. Just a few little things to think about as far as what happens when we're going grey and how it changes our colouring and our whole wardrobes. Really, it changes everything. This is where a radical hair colour change can actually really take a bit to get around, like your head around, because it really does often change everything about how we get dressed. And, you know, it can take a while to get used to that because we kind of do these things as a habit in many ways. We just kind of put the same outfits together day in, day out. And then when we have this change, we have to start really rethinking what's working for us now. And this is where that value of taking outfit photos, comparing them, noticing, you know, which ones look the most harmonious with you right now. So, last question for the day. Emma says, how to incorporate this year's trends into your own style in order to stay current, but not overly trendy or fashion victim? With whatever the trends are, you know, no matter what they are, it's A, deciding on, is this a trend I really, really want and enjoy? There's always a lot of trends. Like I was looking at the fashion trends for this spring, summer 2020, and there's fluoro, there is tears, there is big collars, there is the bra as outerwear. I'm trying to think of what else I've seen in the fashion trends. So anyway, there's just a bunch of fashion trends. Now, I may look at those and I might go, you know, never going to wear a bra as outerwear, you know, anymore. That's a trend that my, you know, 15-year-old will probably want to do, but certainly not for me. You know, and I might look at fluoro and I might go, well, that could be a bit of fun. How am I going to do it? Well, I'm going to do it in small proportions, not large ones. I might just have an accent of it. And it could be an accent such as an earring. It could be a belt. It could be something really small in a shoe, even just a stripe on something. I could have a bit of that trend without having to do it head to toe. And I think that's the key with any fashion trend, is to not like do it head to toe. Usually it's just bring small elements of that trend into your wardrobe and you know, and then just do it in like little ways. So often it's easier to do an accessory, or if you really are liking some trend but you know it's not going to last for too long, this is where you buy cheap. Don't spend a lot of money on the trends that aren't going to be things that end up in your wardrobe for a long time. So the difference between kind of fads, trends, classics. When I think about a fashion fad, so be very wary of the fads. This is where you buy the cheapest. It really won't last long. They're usually things that just don't flatter the majority of women's bodies. So they'll be, you know, pattern pants or brightly colored pants, things that most women want to hide their hips and thighs. So having something bright or patterned on the lower half can draw more attention. Particularly in trousers, it's much harder to get a well-filling trouser that fits and flatters in compared to a skirt. Skirts are so much easier to wear and often much more flattering. So often think about any sort of coloured or patterned trouser, usually going to be a fad rather than a trend. Anything extreme, so extreme oversized, large anything, so the really big collar trend or whatever, all these, anything more extreme is more of a fad. But we might see the extreme oversized collar as a fad, but what we'll see is a slightly larger collar as a trend. And then I'll think about, well, how does that work with my own physicality? If I've got large facial features, well, the larger collar will work. If I've got bigger hair, so if I've got really slimmed back hair, having that large collar will really be out of balance. It's not proportionally balanced to you as a person if you are like that. But if you've got big hair, large facial features, then the larger collar will be balanced with your natural scale. So it's thinking about some of those aspects as well, going, well, how does it work with me? And I don't have to go to the extreme end. I always think when I'm looking at what is in trend or in fashion, is I don't necessarily need to go to the extreme end of that fashion trend. I can go to something much more moderate, and there'll always be more moderate versions around as well. So it's thinking about, well, what are the current trends? What's coming in? And what do I really like? Because there's always a lot of trends. So what are the ones that I like? And it could be, you know, the last few, you know, years we've had a lot of animal prints. And it could be, you know, that's what something I really like. Or it could be that that is not my trend and I'm never going to touch it. And that is fine because there's always different things. But just being aware of some of that overall silhouette of what's in, and not going to the pure extreme if you don't want to look the fashion victim. So there we go. They are my three questions of the day. Feel free to, I'll pop up a post for you to add your questions, and I will pop them in my lucky dip and answer them in the future. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.